It's poverty.
It's crime.
Unemployment.
Corruption.
Accountability.
The energy crisis.
Inflation.
We are worried.
That South Africa has myriad problems on all fronts is a given. But the time has come for us to look for real solutions. I'm Jeremy Maggs, and this MoneyWeb podcast will discuss those solutions on how South Africans can solve problems by having tough conversations and drawing on the insights of South Africa's top business leaders. Welcome to Fix SA. Welcome to another episode of Fix SA here on MoneyWeb, where we look beyond the challenges facing South Africa to explore practical solutions and insights from some of the nation's most influential thinkers. In this episode, Bernard Swanepoel, a leading figure in the South African mining industry, and he has had a remarkable journey from a young graduate to chief executive officer of Harmony Gold Mining. And it's a testament, I think, to the power of leadership, teamwork, and also strategic innovation. So as we delve into his experiences, I'm hoping that we'll uncover some key lessons that can inspire South African leaders to navigate our country's pressing challenges with what I also hope is renewed vision and determination. So let's get started. Bernard, a very warm welcome to you. It's good to talk to you again. Are you more confident about the country's trajectory right now, post the election or not?
Yes, I am. I do think we probably hit rock bottom some 2 or 3 years ago, but one would never know before you look back. I think if we look back in 20 years, we may look back and say somewhere in 2020 or thereabouts, things could just not go worse. But of course, things can always go worse, and therefore we mustn't sit back and hope. We must actually get off our backsides and help to fix the country.
Do you think that there's a reticence to do that, that we're getting tired of not getting up off our backsides?
You know, I'm sort of hoping that the people who give up, I mean, you know, it sounds harsh, but I hope they find a better place for them and their families somewhere else. Those of us who stay clearly have got no choice but to help fix, to make a contribution, to offer our assistance, but also to not too arrogantly think that we've got all the answers. I clearly find this an intimidating topic, and yet I at the same time believe that I can in a small way contribute if I get asked to, if I get deployed.
When you talk about South Africans getting off their backsides, and I like that because it's a real call to action, what do you think that actually means? What are you trying to say?
You know, nobody is without a sphere of influence at home, in your family, in your peer group, around the braai fires after we've celebrated the Springboks. Now, just being positive there, just talking about what we can do to help fix. You know, I love the people who fill potholes. Yes, that's fantastic. But we also need people who fix Eskom, like we currently have. And we need large corporations to actually commit to the country to invest. And we need our politicians to lose their arrogance. I mean, they got a snort club, all of them. Not one of them came out of the election, you know, with their egos intact. So now's the time for us to say, okay, on our own, we didn't succeed. Can we play together? I believe we can.
I want to take you back to when you started out, Bernard, a young graduate, and you moved through the ranks to the chief executive officer of one of the most important gold operations in the country. In that journey, what are some of the key lessons that you learnt along the way that are maybe applicable these days?
You know, I was sort of privileged in that I could go to a university and get a BSc mining engineering. And then I had to really work what I would claim quite hard for 10, 12 years. I really put in the shifts, and I got fortunate with sort of lots of things that happened. But when I got asked to become the CEO of Harmony, it was about to close. Its business plan was officially closure with dignity. You know, I mean, what a silly way to bring 40,000 South Africans together to die slowly, to close with dignity. And so it was obvious that it needed a different dream. You know, I needed to paint a clear picture of what the company could be. I needed to help my team to give our fellow employees hope again. And then, of course, you have to listen to the people, see where they are. You know, take them along on the journey. Now, this sounds like the stuff any smart politician should be doing anyway. What happened with a generation, my generation of young people who got into senior positions, I mean, it was a different world. I mean, 1994, 1995 was so different from about 10 years earlier that there was no more premium for experience. Suddenly, you know, real snot copies like us, you know, brought boldness, we brought our youth, we brought lots of things. And the fact that we didn't have all the experience of the 60-year-olds was actually a benefit, not a disadvantage. Now, all of these things make me think like this is exactly where South Africa is. We are so clearly repeating things that don't work. We implement policies, and when we see the results, we don't change. And so perhaps we need a new generation of younger, bolder leaders throughout politics and business.
Bernard, as a metaphor for South Africa then, how in those difficult times did you keep going? Where did you find the courage and the strength and the fortitude to keep moving? And maybe other South Africans, those younger South Africans that you refer to, can take a leaf out of that book.
So obviously, I mean, we can all say we were born in the country or we are here by choice. I wasn't born into mining, but it was the only bursary I could get. So I became a mining engineer because that's where I could get the bursary. But once you're in an industry and you become passionate about it and you want to actually make a positive contribution, I mean, I think it is so simple. Now, you focus on the few things. Now, you look at what hasn't worked. The hierarchy of the past hasn't worked. That segregation of black people from white people hasn't worked. The approach to safety hasn't worked. The way we mine to an average grade as opposed to for profitability didn't work. And the list is long, but that's industry specific. I think the freshness of young people who look at things, and it's especially in the earlier stages of one's professional development that you actually still have the boldness to think, I see why they do it like this, but there must be another way. Explore the other way. Now, I mean, there's not a single industry in our country that can't do with that. Our economic model can do with that. South Africa Inc. can do with that.
When you're making tough decisions, you talk about boldness. Where do you or how do you frame or articulate tough messages that are going to have potentially a negative impact on people's lives? And if it's not a negative impact, it's certainly going to cause a degree of discomfort.
Yeah, I've done a lot of those. I can tell you if I add up the number of people that got retrenched in Harmony's growth strategy, it must be 20, 30, 40,000. Of course, the flip side is, and the current Harmony employs 50 or 60,000 people, which may otherwise not have had jobs. But back to your question, very early on, I started to think, if you can have a clear picture of the desired future, but you must be clear on it, you must paint it for yourself and for your team, a picture of the future. Now, yes, it's the Rainbow Nation, but it's the Rainbow Nation with detail. What would it look like? Because then, if tough times come, the gold price drops, the rand strengthens. Those are the bad things in gold mining, as you know, for a business. When those things happen, you can almost go and stand in this future and say, guys, but this is the future we pursue. Let's now look back on the issues we face today, and we take the tough decisions almost with the benefit of hindsight. You know, so you stand in this clear picture. Now, if we want to be a successful South Africa with inclusive growth, with growth, the key word, with the economy that is booming, creating jobs more than what we can create South Africans, if we keep that in mind, then any short-term crisis, any tough decision is like, yes, of course, I have to amputate my little finger to prevent the cancer from killing the body. It's a tough decision, but the big picture is clear. So that has been a sort of a gimmicky mental model by which I've always survived.
And Bernard, how do you deal with the naysayers, the people that do not want to go along the path that you're sketching out?
I'm sure in my earlier days, I would have used terminology like fitting or fly away, you know, I mean, but obviously there's a bit of laziness in sort of boldness sometimes, you know, you just, you know, either you're on the bus or you're off the bus, but really, real leaders don't have that option. I mean, President Mandela didn't have the option. He couldn't get rid of parts of the country's population that he may not have liked or may even have had issues with. So, again, paint us a clear picture, give the people hope, let them find their space, And very few people set out to be destructive. You know, when are we destructive? We're destructive when we're unsure, when we can't see the future, when we feel threatened. That's when we worry about whether she's a South African or not a South African, that type of nonsense, you know. When we are a winning nation, I mean, there are very few naysayers about the South African Springbok rugby team. 10 years ago, it was a different story. So let's win together. And like I say, as I got older, I used this terminology of the past less and less. I actually don't want people to go away when they don't fit in. I actually want them to, or I accept that as a leader, part of your role is to help them see how they fit in.
Not always easy to do, though, hey?
No. If it was easy, I suppose everybody would have done it. Quite frankly, if it was easy, I probably still would have done that. It's not easy. And that's why when we see real leadership, now leaders have got followers. When we see people who get followed, sometimes we totally disagree with it. Politically, there are people who've got real followers that I totally disagree with. But when you see that leadership component, then you wish the good people, you know, the people who you perhaps relate to more, can also do that. Just give us a reason to believe, you know, paint us a picture of a better future and let us see how we can contribute to that.
Part of articulating the message and getting people to follow you, I would imagine, is in the tone. And you've mentioned the importance of communicating what you've termed a compelling story within an organization. So I want you to explain that to me and then how this approach can be used to maybe unify and inspire South Africans across different sectors as we continue to grapple with this fix.
Well, I do think it is never a slide deck. I don't think it is those famous McKinsey blue slides of the perfect corporate strategy in the whatever blue space, white space. I think it's much more real. I think it says that we as this team can achieve almost anything if we align. Now, what do we align to? Now, in gold mining, that's simple. You know, you need to produce safely and profitably. You know, growth is such a energizer. We all want to celebrate progress, make progress. So that will obviously be specific to whatever part of whatever you are leading. I don't think it's hard. I think it's actually sounding like your people. I think the more you are speaking into the issues of the people, the more you sound like the people. I mean, in South Africa, I mean, apart from you, all of the rest of us are all bad second language English speakers. That's okay, eh? So let's speak bad second language English. That's not what sets us apart. Let's talk to the issues that face us as a group, as a team, as a company, and obviously right now as a country. I think it will be extremely easy for a leader to rise up now and say, we can be better together. As South Africa, we can be better together and start to put a bit of flesh to that. As I said earlier, Rainbow Nation's a phenomenal concept, but it was a bit vague. Let's just go a little bit beyond that. What would that mean? The economy will grow. At what rate? Well, at 5%. And what will we do do that? And then you get to actual implementable things, and suddenly I can see where I fit into that. You can see where you fit into that. Everybody can find, you know, their own place in that story.
So what do you think are the immediate priorities that we need to tackle using your approach in fixing South Africa?
So when I was having fun, I was supposedly a turnaround manager. I think our country needs turnaround, eh? Now, how can you turn something around? Well, you start off by acknowledging that regardless of our past, glorious or disgusting, it is no longer, the things of the past is not going to work for us in the future. Now, if you acknowledge that, if you say, so South Africa needs to be turned around. I mean, in the business context, what does turnaround do? What can we do on the revenue side? Well, it's simple, as some American politician said, it's the economy. Grow the economy, reduce the cost. Now, of course, you can fire 25 of the cabinet ministers, but our cost is much deeper, embedded. It is the inefficiency of our economy. It's a state-owned enterprise that's not working. It's taxes that's being too high. And between fixing the revenue and fixing the cost, you then look for easy ones. Right now, our country is busy with a phenomenal easy one. We actually have electricity for most of the day. That's an easy one. It's not fixed. It's not, I mean, the people who know say it's not behind us. But what an easy one. That alone changes conversations I participate in. We don't start off by talking about Eskom. We talk about what is next. And so I really think a turnaround approach, admitting that what we've done up to now hasn't worked well, and then starting to do the few things. And the trick is really to focus on a few key levers. I mean, the problem with 34 or 43 or 86 ministers, whatever we have, is we have 86 times 10 important things. You can't fix anything like that. Give me the three things that will fix the country, and I promise you I will volunteer 15 hours a day to that. That's how you turn something around. And we are a classic turnaround opportunity that is waiting to happen.
What I'm also hearing you say is that we are perhaps just a little bloated in our thinking sometimes, and that instead of setting those two or three key priorities, we try to focus on too much and get nothing done at all. And in other words, we become our own worst enemies. Because of that, we start blaming each other.
Yeah, it's inevitable. I do think we are very bloated as a nation. We officially are quite bloated. And I think our approach to business and government is very bloated. And I do think there's a lean, mean version of us that can actually move a lot faster. And I do think this is really the generational challenge. I don't know if the 60-year-old me could have been as bold as the 35-year-old me. So I'm a big fan of younger people should step up and, you know, challenge those things that are so embedded in our way of looking at things. I mean, and it plays out in every aspect of life. You know, when big business comes together, they come together with big government, with big labor. And, you know, I've spent many years in the small business space. There's no space left for small business in all of that. So the bloatedness is the incumbency bloatedness. You know, I am in, and therefore I just need to protect what I have. It hasn't served the country well.
I want to come back to small business in just a moment, but if I've read this correctly, you were also a proponent of something called the Harmony Way, which focused on two things, simplicity and innovation. I think you've explained the simplicity side to me, but the innovation is important. How can we start inculcating and developing principles of innovation in South Africa? Because we're not stupid people.
No, of course not. You know, I think right now the world wonders whether Rossi Erasmus is the smartest person, you know, whether he's the greatest innovator ever in rugby. I don't know. But sometimes you can really just look at what the rest of the world is doing. So innovation can also be relative to best practice. What is currently world practice when it comes to, you know, local development? What is currently best practice when it comes to stimulating economic growth? And we are not there. So we can, you know, so the innovation gap can also be filled to just catch up with what is already there. Of course, innovation go into, you know, artificial intelligence and all the other stuff. My passion has always been in the stuff we already have. Who are we? Who are we as South Africans, and how do we play rugby with that, to go back to that analogy? Who are we as South Africans with a mining economy? And we've got agriculture, and we should have more tourism. Now, how do we innovate in that space? And it's quite simple. Man. Make it easy for a tourist to come to the country. You know? Make it easy for a farmer to produce on scale so that he can export. Create an enabling environment for mining companies so that they can take on bigger companies throughout the world. I don't think it's so hard to be innovative, especially if you look at it relative to what is current best practice in the world.
Bernard, it's very clear that you are a rugby fan and you've used the sports analogy on a couple of occasions, but let me come at it from a different way. If you're going to look at rugby as the metaphor, a lot of rugby players also have to deal with injuries. So I think what we've also got to realize is as we're trying to fix South Africa, it's going to be painful that people in pursuit of that cup eventually, or whatever it is, are going to get hurt sometimes.
Yeah, now you take this analogy to a painful place. No, but that's true. So I'm born and bred into the mining industry. I've worked on gold mines. At some time, we must have employed 500,000 people. Today, it's down to 100,000. There was never a just transition away from gold, it was tough. It was tough out there, you know, and the gold industry. I mean, today, gold is in good hands. The remaining Harmony and one or two other players are looking well after the last 30 years of our gold mining, or the next 30 years. But there is obviously relocation, an economy that invents itself. I don't think we can look after every individual coal miner. But if we had a growing economy, if the rest of the mining industry was growing, then the coal miner that may or may not lose her job could relocate and become an iron ore miner, or could work in a different sort of industry. So again, of course, at an individual level, somebody breaks a bone. At a national level, the team wins.
Mm. You're someone, if I've done my reading correctly, who has transitioned from a corporate life to entrepreneurship. What do you think the biggest barriers are to entrepreneurship in South Africa and how they can be overcome, given what you've just told me about the importance of small business in South Africa and fixing the economy?
I think the first challenge is one's own underestimation of how hard entrepreneurship is. You know, you're the CEO of a company. After 12 years, you think, this is easy, I can go do this. And you almost don't see how you're part of an ecosystem, a team. So one's ego get a big knockdown. But structurally, it is very difficult, really, because of red tape and over-regulation. I mean, when I did my first mining-related venture outside of corporate Harmony, I mean, I was told by auditors that there are 218 pieces of legislation that I need to comply with as a junior miner.
Mm.
What madness. I mean, where will the next Sanlam or Old Mutual come from? Today, I'm guessing the Sanlams and the Old Mutual employ over 100 compliance people. These are expensive people with higher degrees and lots of experience. Now, how is the startup Old Mutual / Sanlam starting with 100 people in the compliance department? And so this is where red tape and overregulation, we do it in the belief that we protect, but we actually protect current incumbents, sometimes to their, I mean, they participate willingly, but we actually prevent the very job creation engine of an economy is always small and medium enterprises. Big companies, per definition, drives efficiency. I mean, even if they grow through acquisition, 1 + 1 becomes 1.8 in terms of jobs. A small company's growth is directly related to employment. So we want small businesses that grow. We don't only want a few big businesses, is my strong contention. I found it very hard in the smaller business space, the entrepreneurial space. Now, obviously, there are entrepreneurs who love high barriers to entry, and they play in the shade of the, you know, of the high walls of the big businesses. They play outside the law. But if we talk about proper entrepreneurs who build businesses, who in time will grow up, I think we must make it a lot easier. We must drop the unnecessary red tape and not overregulate.
Let me ask you one final question, and it's the philosophical question. You've identified problems. You've given us myriad solutions. Bernard Swanepoel, how do we know when South Africa is fixed?
I think we know that when South Africans feel like there is a South African dream, you know, like the American dream. The South African dream, in my mind, has to be simple, like tomorrow can be better than today for me and for my kids and my grandchildren. It doesn't have to be perfect, but it can be better. Just for me and the people I really, really care for. Because if it's true for me and it's true for everybody else, then I think we've defined a winning nation.
Bernard Swanepoel, it's been a pleasure talking to you. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this Fix SA podcast. For more episodes posted every second Friday, go to moneyweb.co.za, the MoneyWeb app, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. Or follow MoneyWeb News on social media for more updates. MoneyWeb, your trusted source for business and investment insights.